Ever paid a bill late because you misplaced it? We'll spend all day organizing our closets, but when it comes to money, forget it. Stop the madness. Let's get it together financially. Organizing your money is easy when you have the tools to do it. Plus, you reduce frustration and give yourself the assurance that you're prepared for whatever life throws your way. Visit stcumoney.org to get 8 free tips on how to organize your money before you think about tackling those closets.
Welcome to Library Out Loud, a conversation about any and all things related to the Spokane County Library District. Library Out Loud is brought to you by the Spokane County Library District and our friends at STCU. Now, here's your host, Jane Baker.
Hello and welcome to Library Out Loud. I'm Jane Baker. I am the Communication and Development Officer for the Spokane County Library District. Joining me today is Sherry Boggs, also from the Spokane County Library District, and you are the Youth Collection Development Librarian.
It's a mouthful, yes.
It is.
That's my job.
We like words at the library.
We do. Thank
you for joining me today, Sherry.
Thank you.
And your job, Youth Collection Development, that's not a collection agency for youth.
Right.
Clarify that just a little bit for the audience.
That is just a fancy way of saying I am a librarian who is also a buyer for the district.
Mm-hmm.
So my responsibility is buying materials for everyone from birth, and we're talking like board books, like just really simple things, all the way up to 18.
Great.
So that's beginning readers, picture books, nonfiction, young adult, middle grade.
All the really fun stuff.
It's really
at the
fun.
Yes. That's awesome. So why I wanted to clarify for everybody exactly what your title, what you do, is because we're going to discuss today an interesting thing that happened approximately a month or so ago. It was in the news, and of course news happens so fast these days that sometimes what happened a week ago we've already forgotten. And I want to clarify that we're not going to have a political discussion. This is by no means a political discussion, but it does kind of touch on politics in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about, people are like, spill the beans. What
right.
are you talking about today? About a month ago, our First Lady, Melania Trump, had donated Dr. Seuss books mm-hmm. to a school library, and the librarian rejected that gift of books. So that's what we're talking about
right.
today. All right. When I first heard this story on the news, I thought, oh, that's gone sideways so many different ways. And you had the same impression?
I did. It was one of those things as a librarian, like there were so many different ways to unpack the event and how it unfolded. And I think my initial reaction was just as a profession, like librarians care so much about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy for someone's passion to maybe come across as arrogance, and that on the part of the librarian, I felt that she veered too far in that direction.
I agree.
And there was, you know, kind of a PR part of me that was just like, oh, no, don't phrase it that way. Don't be so ungracious about, you know, what's essentially a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, even though when I read her points about why she was refusing the gift, the librarian, I think, mm-hmm. is it Massachusetts where she's from?
Yes, Cambridge.
Cambridge, yeah. You know, I thought she was raising some really good points, but the way that it was delivered, it was pretty unfortunate.
Yes. And
was that your feeling
unfortunate,
as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what happened is Melania Trump, who is still trying to carve out what her agenda is as the First Lady,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things she picked up on was reading, helping children with reading. And so she donated several, not just a few, but
I think it was like 10.
10 books to one library in each state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a significant amount of books. But mm-hmm. she donated Dr. Seuss books to this library. It's a school library
mm-hmm.
in Cambridge. And the school librarian rejected the gift. And the initial, of course, you know, what you see on the news isn't always the details, so you had to dig in and find out more information. But the librarian basically was donate this to another school who needs books more than we do. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, she is at rather a high-end school mm-hmm. that is in a well-to-do area, and her school does have plenty of books for the students. And she had a good point there about donating the books to a school that needed those resources who couldn't afford them otherwise. So that was one point. Mm-hmm. So that alone is great. That's great. It was great that Melania wanted to give that, but the rejection was, ouch,
yeah.
when I heard it. Yes, it was like, oh, couldn't that have been handled a little bit better?
Right, while mm-hmm. still making some of the same points, I think, that she made. Like, it's interesting to kind of cause this national discussion about, you know, like what books could have been chosen or what school could have been chosen.
Yes.
But the response comes across as kind of arrogant. And so, you know, like, I feel like kind of the finer points of what she was trying to say are being lost in all of that.
Exactly. Then then the whole thing did become political.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not what anyone wanted to have happen.
Right.
Maybe that one librarian that rejected
right.
it. Maybe
she, here's my chance. Yeah.
And I have had a chance, and I know you have too. We talked about this. We both have read in the complete text of the rejection. And I did quote unquote, I know people can't see me, but mm-hmm. yeah, my fingers moved. The rejection of the gift was, there was a letter with it, and the letter was not so gracious, which is too mm-hmm. bad. First of all, I think it's great that she wanted to give the books.
Yeah, exactly.
But the librarian also had a point that, yeah, my school's pretty well off here. We don't need these books. Why don't you donate them somewhere mm-hmm. else? So my first thought was, okay. And I don't know who all surrounds the First Lady. I'm sure she's got a group of advisors.
Right.
And I thought, well, why didn't someone reach out to this librarian first or any librarian and say, what do you think?
Exactly.
Do you think this is a good selection of books? Do you think this is the right schools to give it to? And they purposely sought out high-achieving schools, which was curious to me.
Definitely.
Yeah, why wouldn't you donate those type of resources to a school that was lower in achieving and needed more help?
Right, that might not have the funding that a lot of these other schools that got the books did.
Exactly. So that was, I thought, well, who's surrounding Melania mm-hmm. that's not giving her that good advice? And then who's surrounding the librarian on how you're responding to this? So, mm-hmm. You know, that to me was the first thing. To me, I'm a communication person, so I always think communication could have solved the issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we had talked a little bit about this before the actual gift was delivered, it might not have made the same splash in the headlines. Who knows? Maybe it wouldn't have made any splash. Mm-hmm. It could have not been acknowledged at all. So maybe there was some good that comes out of this.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's a way of looking at it in a positive way. So then there was the subject of what books are donated.
Right.
And that was Dr. Seuss books, who I grew up with Dr. Seuss.
As did I.
I love Dr. Seuss, and I read Dr. Seuss to my son also as mm-hmm. he was growing up. So, and Dr. Seuss is very common, very popular. It seems almost everybody knows who Dr. Seuss is, right?
Right.
And so that also became an issue that wasn't the best book.
Right. Like, I think in her rejection letter, the way that she phrased it was that she said something like, I'm not sure if you're aware, but Dr. Seuss is a tired old cliche.
Yes.
In children's literature, which, again, that felt like, ouch.
Yes.
Right. You know, because I feel like for a lot of people, it can be intimidating to select children's books, like either as a gift, as a donation for a school. Like, if you're not steeped in the world of children's literature, it's an easy place to go because we did all grow up with Dr. Seuss, most mm-hmm. of us. You know, and there's that kind of warm and fuzzy feeling of nostalgia that his name evokes. Like, it just seems like, okay, that's a safe bet. Like, any kid or school is going to want Dr. Seuss books.
Sure.
And so I think to be told that, you know, is a tired old cliche, that it's a really unfortunate thing to say, because I think that's a default a lot of us would make.
Mm-hmm. Yes, agreed.
Yeah, agreed. And it's one of those things, like with Dr. Seuss, another reason his name comes up is because, you know, even though a lot of us might not have been around in the 1950s when The Cat in the Hat was first published, like there's a legacy there of mm-hmm. what that was for children's literature. Like the reason that The Cat in the Hat was such a big deal in the 1950s was it was the first beginning reader of its kind. Like when it came on the scene, all the books for kids at that time were like literally the Dick and Jane books. Mm-hmm. And they were these super clean little white kids in suburbia doing really boring things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they weren't terribly engaging to their audience. And so Theodore Geisel, who was Dr. Seuss's real name,
yes.
And his editor basically gave him a challenge and said, I want you to write a beginning reader that kids will actually want to read, and I want you to do it with a controlled vocabulary of 70 words or less.
Wow.
And that...
He would have been great on Twitter, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. He would have ruled Twitter. excuse me. And so that was revolutionary for the time. I mean, it was the first time that you really were seeing kind of fantastic books about, you know, like talking cats, and, you know, things were very much of the real world and children's literature back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's got this great legacy, but it's not without problems. You know, it's like one of the issues that has come up in this discussion springing from this librarian's letter is that there's also some racism in some of the books, which is really funny because I didn't realize that myself. And I've been in children's literature for like most of my career. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like mm-hmm. 20 years, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't realized that. And I was on the Geisel Committee, which is like a national committee that selects the best beginning reader for that year. And so like we researched Dr. Seuss. We looked at his legacy. And it's so funny, like as a committee, we didn't even really discuss the racism because we weren't that aware of it.
Sure.
And then once you and I were talking about this yesterday in preparing for the show, once I started looking at some of the old illustrations, it's like, oh God, I see it.
Yes.
And now I can't unsee it.
Yes.
And so I think that this is great in raising some of these discussions and having us kind of look at these things in new ways. And, you know, poor Melania Trump, like I'm sure none of this was in any way what she intended to mm-hmm. be recommending mm-hmm. problematic books.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break,
okay.
And let's come back and talk more about Dr. Seuss and more on this subject.
Okay.
You're listening to Library Out Loud.
In touch. Online all the time. SpokaneTalksOnline.com.
What? You haven't been to the library lately? Stop in today and see that the library is more than books. Spokane County Library District facilities feature on-site technology, including Wi-Fi, computers, and printers, as well as free use of meeting rooms. The library district offers events and programs for all ages, from story times to career development and employer classes to social security workshops. Our staff is well-trained and happy to help. Find out more about your library at scld.org.
A special thank you to our friends at Tom Sawyer Country Coffee, the official coffee supplier here at Spokane Talks Online.
Home. That word means so much more than its four letters suggest. R, that letter, stands alone. When you see someone wearing a blue block R, you're talking with a realtor. Your local neighborhood realtor can help you find your first home, your next home, or help you sell the one you have. Next time you think home, think realtor. The brand makes the difference. This message brought to you by the members of the Spokane Association of Realtors.
And welcome back to Library Out Loud. I'm Jane Baker, and joining me today is Youth Collection Development Librarian Sherry Boggs from the Spokane County Library District. And we're having an interesting discussion about Dr. Seuss. I didn't know you were on the Seuss
The Geisel Committee?
The Geisel Committee.
Yeah.
Okay. What does the Geisel Committee do?
Okay, so they, the American Library Association has a number of awards committees, and the ones that most people are familiar with are like the Newbery Award and the Caldecott Award, and those are the two oldest. And in the 2000s, they started the Geisel Committee, which is an award given to the best beginning reader each year.
Very nice.
And I was on that committee in 2011, which was a huge honor, and it was so much fun. And it was pretty easy to do the work because they were beginning readers, whereas the Newbery Award books are like, 200-300 pages.
Oh, wow.
That's one of the harder committees to be on. But it was really fun because we kind of learned about what makes a good beginning reader. And beginning readers are a genre of children's literature that, they sometimes don't get a lot of respect because they tend to be really formulaic. Because they're written for beginning readers, they often have really simple words. Mm-hmm. They're kind of hard to do well. But there are some outstanding examples in the genre. Like Dr. Seuss kind of started it, and that's why the award is named for him. But one of the people I wanted to talk about, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead in our conversation. But
no, go ahead.
In terms of like authors she, Melania Trump, could have included in her gift, I kept thinking like, oh, why didn't she have Mo Willems? The Elephant and Piggy books, it's funny because he's won so many of the Geisel Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Since the award has been initiated, and he just seems like the natural successor maybe to Dr. Seuss. And he started out as a writer for Sesame Street. He was really famous for doing the Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus picture book. Fun.
Uh-huh.
And in the mid-2000s, kind of around the time this award got started, he thought, I want to do some beginning readers. And so he came up with these two characters. It's kind of this buddy formula.
Mm-hmm.
Of opposites. There's Elephant, who's super cautious and doesn't like to try new things like many children, and Piggy, who's super enthusiastic and gregarious, and they're total opposites, and these books are about all their adventures. And he really gets child psychology. Like, he knows what it's like not to want to share your ice cream or not to want to invite a new friend to play at recess.
Mm-hmm.
And so his, even though it's an elephant and a pig, they're exploring these things that are really familiar to children mm-hmm. of that age. And
sure.
There's just this kind of like social and emotional development thing going on in all the books. There's great humor. They're just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they reach kids so well. And so, it's like if I'd been the one lucky enough to put together this box of books, I would have made sure that there would have been
Mo Willems.
I could have sent a box of 10 Mo Willems books. he's done a bunch of them. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Well, back to The Gift, which was all Dr. Seuss books.
Mm-hmm.
And he had quite a selection.
And
not all of them are. Well, I want to say, first of all, I don't think any of them are bad.
Right.
And I don't think there's any good and bad here. Really, the thrill that kids enjoy them and like reading is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, there's been some discussion about the Dr. Seuss, a couple of the Dr. Seuss books,
mm-hmm.
mostly I see named The Cat in the Hat, being racist. And as you had said, it surprised you, surprised me too. And I don't think I saw it as racist when I read it as a child and as a parent. But you're right. Now that I look back at it, I see, there's that.
It. Yeah.
And then I question, well, did that have an influence on me? I want to say it didn't, but I don't know. I really don't know. Yes.
Yeah. And there's other things from that same era. Like, I think when you and I were talking briefly yesterday, I was thinking of the Little House books.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that's been raised about The Cat in the Hat, about it being inspired by blackface.
Mm-hmm.
There's in the Little House books, I remember there were illustrations of actual like minstrel shows mm-hmm. where, Pa and some of the other characters were in blackface. And, there, like, that's completely egregious and kind of out there. And, like, growing up with that, being a little white kid, like, it didn't really register. But I did remember, feeling maybe a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
But not to the point where I would quit reading or think that that was wrong, because, like, these books, were so much a part of, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the culture at that time. Like, there was the show on TV, and, you know, it's like every little girl of a certain age had the Little House books. And,
sure.
You know, it's kind of like you rely on the adults around you to kind of let you know what's right and wrong at that age. And so I can't remember where I was really going with what I was saying. But I think that there's degrees maybe of the problematic material in some of these really classic children's books.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think you just said something about the parent being involved. You know, mm-hmm. you don't just send a kid off to read on their own. It's an opportunity for a parent to have discussions with children.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting straight from the hip here because I'm not sure, but if you're reading Cat in the Hat with a child, then you ask some questions about, you know, why do you think the cat was unwelcome, or mm-hmm. Why was it seen as disruptive? Or we were looking at an article yesterday about the Dr. Seuss books, and the author of this article was talking about how racist they were, and he was very adamant about it. But he also mentioned the Oompa Loompas from the Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that right. That
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think of that either, you know,
yeah.
that they were kind of forced into working or slavery in the
in the
candy factory.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, oh, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Of course. It is. It's got very racist overtones. So then what do? You not read that book at all, or do you read it and then have certain conversations? Of course, it all depends on the child.
Right.
And the age of the child and their maturity and that type of thing. So this opened a whole new world all of a sudden that made things more complicated than I wish they would be.
Right. And I feel like it's part of a big national discussion that's happening right now.
Yes.
Like, for instance, I'm writing a blog for the district because SCLD has this fantastic blog we all take turns writing. And November is National American Indian Heritage Month.
Yes.
So I wanted to do a blog post about some of the fantastic books I've seen coming out on American Indian heritage. But that's problematic in that sometimes, you know, you'll have a very well-meaning author who, you know, is not registered with any particular tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll keep perpetuating cliches, and they might mean well, but the thing to remember about American Indian tribes in the United States right now is there's over, I think, 500 distinct tribes, and they all have their own cultural traditions.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, you know, the feathers and the headdress. It's like some tribes that would be completely unfamiliar. That mm-hmm. wouldn't be part of their culture,
mm-hmm.
whereas in a lot of children's literature, you know, you'll kind of see this visual shorthand taking place, and that this tradition of one tribe is meant to represent 500 different nations. And so even picking books to write this blog post about, I found myself going to there's a website called American Indians in Children's Literature, and it's run by a Nambe Pueblo woman named Debbie Reese, and it's a great resource. And she has basically devoted her life's work. She's got a doctorate in cultural studies, I think. She's devoted her life to kind of looking at children's literature and breaking apart these stereotypes and explaining to people this, you know, this is why we get so angry about being misrepresented. You know, it's like mm-hmm. these things are very dear to our culture, and, you know, this isn't true of this tribe that you're talking about in this book. And so I feel like I'm seeing these conversations in children's literature happening all over the place.
Wow.
And it can be a little daunting, you know, to make sure that you're, you know, promoting maybe books for the right reasons, you know, and mentioning the ones that deserve to be mentioned and not promoting the ones that maybe didn't do a good job.
Very good.
Of what they set out to do.
Yes, yes. And you said the term well-meaning.
I think
for the majority of authors and parents and we're all well-meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And Melania Trump was well-meaning. The librarian who rejected the gift was well-meaning.
Right.
We could all use a little grace in handling these things and making sure we communicate, but we're all well-meaning. We all have the same goal, and that's mm-hmm. helping children and education and reading. But wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets a little crazy sometimes. I was hoping that we would have time that you could talk a lot about some authors. He's telling me we have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
But so we can mention a couple authors, but also anyone listening to this program, if they say, well, where do we go? What kind of books? Easy answer. We have 11 libraries in the Spokane County Library District system, and we are more than happy to discuss children's authors and children's books at any of our location. Drop in with your kids, and you know we'll show you a world, Dr. Seuss and more.
Right,
yeah. Lots more.
We're thrilled to do that.
Yes. So, in the couple minutes we have, a couple authors that you would recommend for parents.
Oh, sure. I had already talked about Mo Willems. Another book that I just loved this past year was Thunder Boy Jr. by Sherman Alexie. Of
awesome.
Course,
yes.
You know, Spokane Connection. It's just this fantastic father-son story about a little boy who shares his father's name. And Sherman Alexie had the same name as his dad. And so this really comes from personal experience. And this little boy is like, I don't want to be Thunder Boy Jr. I want my own name and my own identity. And the illustrations are just super colorful. They're by Yuyi Morales, wonderful, I think, Southwest illustrator. She's done beautiful work. So that's a great one. Another one that I loved this past year was Last Stop on Market Street by Matt de la Pinion. It's about this little boy who has to travel by bus with his grandmother. And the whole time he hates riding the bus. He doesn't understand why they have to ride the bus with all these other people. And it kind of takes a look at a socioeconomic group that maybe not a lot of kids see. Mm-hmm. And the grandmother's attitude is just like, you know, look, we've got this wonderful entertainment on this bus. These people over here are singing, and we just went through this amazing neighborhood. And I'm probably not describing it very well, but that is just a great book, you know, kind of about this intergenerational friendship between the grandmother and the son and different ways of looking at the world. And then I also wanted to mention there's this new series called Books That Drive Kids Crazy. And these are just pure fun, but they're super interactive. And like one is called Who Took the Bee from My Ook? They're by Beck Stanton. And the other one is called This is a Ball. And on the cover of the book, it's like a little box. And they're really fun for kids because they get to interact with the person. They're designed for the person to read it to somebody. And I could see kids reading this to each other and just cracking up because it gives kids this opportunity to kind of yell at the storyteller and be like, no, that's a box, you know, or you know, laughing at these words and how they sound when you take one letter away.
That sounds like something I want to read.
It's a great new series. Yeah, no, they're really fun. I'll show you when we get back to work.
Okay, I'm going to head over to your office and read some books. Yeah, great. Well, Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today. This is a great discussion.
Thanks for having me.
Very important to connect, you know, funny. Yeah, Dr. Seuss, who would have thought that this would become a political issue in 2017? But here we are.
Yes.
Yes. And once again, we're always happy to help parents or anyone.
Yeah.
Choose books. And in fact, that's the thing that our library staff loves to do the most. Mm-hmm. So stop in the library, ask questions, and we'll show you a great world of children's literature.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time on Library Out Loud.
Library Out Loud is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Library Out Loud is brought to you by the Spokane County Library District and STCU. Go visit and explore your local library today.